Hello and welcome to another of the University of St Andrews Scotland's Future Series podcasts. And today we're talking about the Scottish Council on Global Affairs. And that's a new international affairs think tank based in Scotland, founded by the universities of Glasgow, Edinburgh, and of course the universities of St Andrews, with support from the Scottish and UK governments. And joining me today, I have Dr. Mattia Pater and Professor Phillips O'Brien, who are here to talk to me about the Scottish Council on Global Affairs. Mattia, can you tell us just a little bit about the Scottish Council on Global Affairs that you're involved in and you helped establish, why it's happening, why it's important, why should people who are listening care?
It's such an exciting venture to be a part of, Stephen, especially because one of the things that is interesting about the Scottish Council, or SCOGA as we call it as well, and so we're hoping that the acronym is going to stick in people's mind as well, it is actually the first Scottish think tank on international affairs. So Scotland obviously plays an important role in the world, both as an entity by itself and also as part of the United Kingdom. And this is the first time that we have kind of a think tank dedicated to thinking about both the role of Scotland in the world, but also broader global affairs. And so the idea behind this think tank has been to kind of have a non-metropolitan view of international affairs, because quite often the research institutes or the think tanks would be based in the capitals, such as London or Brussels or Washington. But the idea is to then sort of have a bit of a different perspective, and with the strength of the three universities, including St Andrews in international affairs, it's an exciting venture to be a part of.
So that's really important. Mattia just picked up a point, Phil, about being outside the bubble. Is that right, Mattia? And why is that important? And why should academics get involved in this as well as others? And is it just for academics?
Oh, no. I mean, well, let me do your first question. I think, you know, a lot of us who started these discussions really felt that the international discourse in the United Kingdom, both back in 2014 and 2016, when there were major referenda, was not of the highest order. Mm-hmm. The understanding of international relations could have been much higher. The engagement of the public could have been much higher. And one of the issues we felt up in Scotland was we were also sometimes not taking part in the discussion, and nor was the discussion coming to us.
Yeah.
So I think we felt that what we wanted to do was create something using the skill we have here. I mean, within St. Andrews, Edinburgh, and Glasgow, we have huge world-leading expertise in international affairs questions. And we thought we wanted to create something outside of the center, outside of the metropolitan area, that would, one, educate and inform, but also create and publicize the great research that we're doing. So it was just really, it felt that it filled so many needs that we felt up here. And we felt we could also add to the discussion. That if you look at the way, for instance, certain issues of Britain's future relationship for Europe are being discussed down south versus how they're being discussed up here, we have a very different outlook, that we often look more to the north, more to Scandinavian countries, and engage with the issue in a different way. So it seems to benefit us, and it seems to benefit the rest of the country.
Okay. Mattia, can you talk to us a little bit about different perspectives? You're somebody from Slovenia living in Scotland, but doing some great work on the Western Balkans. How important is that? I'm wondering if you can talk to us about, because you've talked about that and Phil's talked about that different perspective, the way that we see the world and how we discuss and debate the world. And I'm wondering if you can tell us some of the issues that SCOGA is going to be focusing on over the coming months.
I mean, at the simplest level, it's about having space to think. And so not being inside that bubble that you mentioned before, where everything is constantly discussed, all of the issues are being hashed out, and there's kind of a sort of a middle ground compromise, the lowest common denominator quite often sought in terms of what the opinion is, that then just kind of goes forward. If you are kind of a bit outside, that you're seeing things from a different perspective, you're not constantly part of sort of the buzz of London, that you go and visit there and see it from a different perspective, you do get to kind of experience the world slightly differently. I think your listeners will kind of see that sort of their view of international affairs is probably a bit different than a view even 100 miles away, or but especially sort of in a bigger city or a metropole. And so it's the same thing with research. We tend to think slightly differently. We might be able to pause on particular issues. And so as a result, what we ended up doing in Skoga, there's a lot of interesting projects going, smaller projects that researchers across Scotland have initiated, and we're going to be supporting those. Sure. But the two big priorities that we set, which are kind of sort of firmly rooted in Scottish perspective, but pertain to international affairs, are one that is looking at sort of very hard security issues, is looking at the question of High North, sort of how to think through security in terms of the changing landscape, and particularly in relation to Ukraine war, which from the Scottish perspective does feel a bit different than it does sort of a bit further south. And then the other issue that we're tackling is a bit of a, what we like to call it, softer issue, is how to think through feminist approaches to foreign policy, sort of in particular to think through who does the foreign policy pertain to, and sort of how is it affects different levels of community. And that's been kind of our two priorities, which are very Scottish, but they're also very international in a lot of ways.
And in what way would a feminist foreign policy be particularly Scottish, and what kind of areas would you be looking to expand there?
I think it's an interesting question, because usually when people think about feminist foreign policy, they think of just, you know, add women and stir, right? So that's kind of the explanation. It's just like, as long as you have sort of a women leader, things are going to change.
Yeah.
But I think it's about sort of thinking through to who in your community and sort of outside your community the foreign policy pertains to.
Okay.
Right. So it's about thinking not just through sort of hard security issues, not just thinking about nuclear weapons or sort of military aspects of it, but also about sort of how do your decision as a decision maker affect sort of different levels of society, not just the ones that are kind of at the decision making table. So I'll put it at that, but obviously this is a big, big project that we're hoping that people are going to engage in more fully.
Okay, I was really interesting. This is something that went into the Labour, Liberal Democrat and SNP manifestos. It's something that's been backed by the UK government and the Scottish government, which is really good to see, because you want to advance that discussion and debate. One of the things I've always observed is the way in which foreign policy is driven by domestic policy, because that's why people care about things. So Phil, you've been doing a lot of work on the war in Ukraine. Mattia talked about the security challenges in terms of the High North, Scotland's neighbourhood. If you like, why should people care? Why is this pertinent to our day-to-day lives?
Well, I mean, it's Scotland and the United Kingdom is a Northern European power, and actually the war in Ukraine has been, and I think we overuse this word, but in this case, it's been transformative for the direct security. And by the way, issues like climate change are also being transformative to northern security in a very different way from just the hard military. But what the war in Ukraine has done is two things, or we should say the Russian invasion of Ukraine has done two things. One, it upended a lot of, I think, what were assumed to be norms of behavior that have existed since 1945 about what a state would or would not do to achieve its foreign policy goals, i.e. in this case, this was an invasion of one state of another in a way to have national expansion. The other is the reaction to that has been transformative for NATO and for Northern Europe. The fact that you now have Sweden and Finland applying for NATO membership, it does look like they will be allowed in, means that you are going to have a security bloc in Northern Europe, and the United Kingdom and Scotland will be a part of that bloc, and they will have a role to play within it. And that also brings up questions about what the role will be for the United Kingdom. Say, for instance, the United Kingdom in this period of budgetary constraint, can it maintain a significant Army, Navy, Air Force, or does it need indeed to specialize?
Yeah.
If you have Finland on the border providing a lot of troops, to what degree do you need a large British army to play that role? So I think, you know, those are the hard ones. But also, you know, this idea of northern security extends more beyond the hard as well. And, you know, what is happening in climate change, which seems to be accelerating in some cases, has profound implications for all of Northern Europe, including Scotland and the United Kingdom. Rising sea levels, the way its impact on fishery stocks, all of that it needs to be considered. And so it's something that we feel we can do from SCOGA.
Okay. So really big, substantial issues. SCOGA seems to be getting on its feet at the right time. You've outlined some of the meaty issues that we're getting involved in. Has a big impact on domestic affairs. You talk about our security, climate change, the biggest issue that we face. Mm-hmm. But even smaller things, cost of living crisis is a direct consequence of the UK's relationship with the rest of Europe, and also, of course, Russia's war in Ukraine. So finally, and I'll ask you both, I'll come to you, Mattia, first, and then Phil. People who are listening to this, who are interested in getting involved, who have got ideas, mm-hmm. would you encourage them to get in touch?
Oh, yes, for sure. I mean, it is an interesting venture, and I always say this because we started it at universities. It might feel, you know, it's going to be an ivory tower conversation. But I think we're all kind of very keen to engage in sort of our first call for proposals already went out. We're already reading through super interesting proposals, not just by academics, but also by people in sort of civil sector that are interested in engaging in these issues. So our plan is to essentially have very well evidenced research that can lead to policy recommendations. And that is not just a domain for academics. Of course, we encourage academics to join, and not just ones that are sort of situated in the departments of international relations or politics, but more broadly. But it is an institute that we're hoping will be much more accessible to the wider community in Scotland and beyond.
Brilliant. Phil, any last messages?
Yeah, I mean, a few things. One, even though we've talked about both feminist foreign policy and High North, half of our support is going to go to projects beyond these.
Yeah.
So if people have ideas from across Scotland and they want to bring them and engage with our research, we're going to be doing far more than just those two. So we're really going to be covering a lot of areas. You can begin, by the way, if you're interested. We'll be having a series of announcements on events coming up starting after Christmas. We will have a sort of a whole series of engagements. And our plan, by the way, is to bring them across Scotland. So it's not just going to be in the Central Belt. Our plan is to try to bring them north and south in Scotland to bring them out to people. So follow us on the website. We have a website that's up and growing. Pay attention to our events, even if you don't want to run a research project yourself. Come along. Hopefully they'll be interesting to you, and you'll find out about what we're doing and learn a little bit more about the world.
Brilliant. Phil, Mattia, thank you. And for anybody who's listening, we're going to use the very best of St. Andrew's technical wizardry to put up those contacts, www.scga.scot, and also the social media links as well. Have a look, get in touch with us, let us know what your thoughts and ideas are.